listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he of the Woj Bombs, this is not a trade deadline bomb, but in a way it is, in a way it isn't. According to his sources, although Brooklyn Nets guard James Harden wants a trade to the Philadelphia 76ers, he has resisted making that formal request out of fear of public backlash that would come with asking out of a second franchise in consecutive seasons. I forget about that. James started the season with the Rockets last year.
Yeah.
So it would be consecutive seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Technically.
And guess what? He still wants out. So he's not asking for it, but he would be. So the word is out on the street that James would be hesitant to do it. Guess what? He just did it.
The perception's already out
there. Yeah, we know it. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to get traded. He wants to be with his longtime lover, Daryl Morey.
By the way, there's two guys over there that love James. It's not just Daryl.
Oh, Tad?
Tad loves James.
Well,
that's a whole organization. They put James ahead of the organization first and foremost the entire time. All the decisions made were with James first and foremost, right? Every decision was about James. We had an earlier discussion. I question whether Daryl Morey is willing to do that now with James being 33 next year, 34. And with all this wear and tear on his body, potentially physically, maybe starting to break down a little bit, and the amount of money he's going to cost with his next contract, I have questions about whether or not Daryl Morey would be willing to do that for this version of James, not the one he had with the Rockets. This version looks a little slower, by the way. You can just watch him on any given show. He's not as quick as he was. He's not as lean as he was.
Skilled now. I mean, you've seen left-handed players that maybe are a little heavy. They look a little bit slower, but they feel like they just know basketball.
No, I mean James. I'm asking: Is James the same player he was 2 years ago? I think, my question.
Well, he has been carrying. Listen, look at the guys he's been playing with.
Look at the guys he played with the Rockets when he averaged when he hit 30 a game and a billion consecutive games.
Well, he does that now when he wants to.
James right now is playing the most minutes he's played since 2015-16. He's playing 37 minutes a game. Now he's played 44 games so far. He's shooting 41%, which is the lowest in his entire career since his rookie season. He's at his lowest field goal percentage. His three-point percentage is 33%, which is the lowest of his entire career. This is the lowest he's ever shot three-point percentage. And his two-point percentage is the lowest of his career other than his rookie season. His free throw percentage is still good, 86.9%. He's averaging 4.8 turnovers, which is third highest in his entire career, and 10 assists. So his assist to turnover is actually the worst it's been since 2019, when he was averaging 7.5. Yeah, 2019, he had 7.5 assists and 4.5 turnovers. That was the worst. His points per game is the lowest amount, I guess, since last year with the Rockets. 24-6, it's the exact same. James, across the board, I'm telling you, here we have an older player who's heavier, who's starting to miss games, and who is having his worst production of his career. These are not things that analytics favor. They don't. You'd have to completely forget everything you knew if you're an analytics guy and just say, I'm only going with my heart, which analytics people don't have hearts. No. I'm joking, but not really joking. They don't believe in clutch play. They don't believe in emotion. They are emotionless. Daryl Morey believes in collecting the most amount of good players he can. He doesn't believe in chemistry. He has told people chemistry is not a thing. I don't care. The best players win. That's what the data tells you is the best players win championships. Go look at every championship and go look who has the best players. Best players win.
Right now, watching this from outside now, as opposed to being in the middle of the James Harden stuff, which we were for all that time here.
You have a different perspective?
It is. It's actually Pablo Torre was on yesterday with, who was he on with, Joel or?
Killer Bees.
Killer Bees. He was on with the Killer Bees and had this to say about the Harden situation.
You actually kind of want the Nets to keep James Harden if you resent in any way how James Harden left Houston, which, by the way, is resentment worthy, to be clear. The other bit of comedy here that I'm monitoring is just how badly James Harden wants out, even more than, like, Daryl Morey wants him in the present tense, I think. Like, that to me is the funniest part of all of this. James Harden reportedly is screaming in every direction, get me out of here. And Daryl Morey, of course, who you guys know very well, like, that guy is saying to himself, wait a minute, we could also just get you in the offseason for nothing.
If you can.
Because that's how I think it's going to go down.
Here's the difference, though. You still got to get rid of Ben Simmons' money. You can't afford
him. You can do sign and trade at the end of next year.
But you have to take something back.
You can do sign and trade with Ben Simmons. You could do the same deal at the end of the year.
Oh, you mean do it? Why not do it now? What do you mean? You don't need to sign and trade. Ben Simmons is under contract. There's no sign and trade with Ben Simmons.
You can sign and trade. You can use Ben Simmons in a sign and trade for James next year.
Well, why don't you do it now then?
Maybe they don't like the construct of the deal.
Well,
Daryl doesn't give in on deals like that. He doesn't. And his whole thing will be, all right, well, we'll move Ben for something else. We'll do a three-way trade, and we'll get James next year.
Well, then why don't you do a three-way trade now? That's what I'm saying.
Obviously, they don't value whatever the offer is. Or this would go down. Or maybe it's the Nets. Steven Nash has already said, we're not dealing them. This could be the Nets saying, we got to at least give ourselves a second season to try to make this work, because it's clearly not going to work. If we trade James, we have no chance of winning.
Well, they don't.
They don't have a chance if they trade James. So do they quit on this year?
With or without, they've got no chance of winning.
But they know they can still move James for something next year through a sign and trade. Unless James just said, I don't care about sign and trade. I'll just go somewhere else. I'll take a little less money, because I'm not sure Daryl will want to offer him the maximum amount that a sign and trade guy. We just saw that with Kevin Durant. Can you imagine?
I'm telling
you. How are they even able to keep both of those guys? Anyway, Kevin Durant's making in the 50s now.
He loves him so much. I don't think the money's even a thought to Daryl. He wants to win. James Harden brings wins. Daryl Morey had, what, the second best record in the league over the time that James Harden was there?
But who is James now? You're acting like Daryl's this highly emotional. He's not. His PER, all the things that you're saying is when James's PER was off the charts. His efficiency ratings were off the charts. It's not that way anymore.
He wants him. What are you talking about? Wants him.
Pablo Torre just told, based on what?
But based on he's trying to get him. Based on talks
based on
with
what
the
they've
Nets
had
right
discussions. If Daryl wanted it, he'd already pull the trigger. I think you're overestimating what Daryl's willing to do. You're saying he wants him and all this stuff. If he wanted him, a deal would have already been done.
Well, maybe. Or maybe the Nets aren't pulling the
trigger. Do you think a deal will get
done?
Maybe
it's the Nets that aren't pulling the trigger.
Maybe they're not, but Daryl could have moved. I think Daryl has his eyes on James. I do think that. I just don't think he's going to be stupid. I don't think he's all in puppy love for a guy who's having his worst career, and he can't stay on the court anymore.
I don't know.
Why do you think
I've seen is an undying
love
for him.
But you're saying an analytics guy doesn't believe in the tenets of analytics.
I'm not saying that. You mean the greatest scorer in NBA history? He doesn't believe in that guy?
He made that comment 5 years ago, or 4 years ago. He's not the same guy right now. The analytics tell you, the data tells you that James is breaking down, wearing down, and not as good. The data tells you that.
He's still one of the top players in the NBA and can win you a championship.
Daryl doesn't have that now. Right now, he is not playing like a top 10 guy in the league for the entire year. And he's hurt. James is hurt during this year, too. And this
is
two straight years.
Are you sure he's not in a fat suit right now?
No, I think earlier this year he was.
Are you sure he's not in a fat suit right now? Okay.
He's missed time.
He might be in a fat suit right now.
He's played 44 games of their 54. He's missed 10 games.
Yeah, he's done that before.
Not much.
Anyway, 713-780-3776. Still ahead. Oh, my goodness. We've got Five Star just texted me. He's got his bets, his prop bets that he loves. And we will get all of that in just about 15 minutes here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you do not want to go anywhere. You want to hang right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So if you're looking for, how about this? How about Pajamagram? Guys, it's coming up. Naturally nude pajamas. You need them. You got to have them. You need Pajamagram. Pajamagram has saved me before. Pajamagram will save me again. Pajamagram is a place to go to get her something that she loves. She loves to be in something that's sexy and that is something that's comfortable, something that, and there's all kinds of stuff to choose from. But right now, the naturally nude pajamas are hot, sensuous and smooth, perfect for Valentine's Day. She's going to love the feeling wearing next to nothing at all. You'll love the way they look. Check them out at pajamagram.com. Best of all, every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, which means you don't have to wrap a thing. So you get her naturally nude pajamas. Just go to pajamagram.com. Now, you can text the word gift. That's G-I-F-T. I'm sorry that I have to spell it for you. It's the word gift. You text it to 41234. Text the word gift to 41234 to order naturally nude pajamas. It's fast, it's easy. Delivery by Valentine's Day is guaranteed. Tell them John Granato sent you.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to bring in the Culture Map guys. Stevie D and Eric Sandler with us here. We missed you guys last week.
We missed you too, man.
We were on the road, couldn't get the job done, so nobody did anything last weekend. So more people are going into Infinite, and I've been telling them great things about that place. It's unbelievable. You really have to do it. Take the kids,
okay?
Yeah. And I told a buddy of mine about it, and it's just so awesome. Here for how long?
Well, they're trying to extend it to April, but they haven't officially extended, so that's why we haven't announced that totally. But so many people are coming in from out of town, and so many people.
Yeah.
Like you are spreading the word of mouth that they're actually thinking of extending to
Infinite. I don't know what the website is, but just look up Infinite Houston, whatever.
The Infinite?
Yeah.
The Infinite.
Virtual reality, like 1,000 hours on the space station, and no experience is the same.
Yes. It's really, really cool. So get there and check that out. I highly, highly endorse it. It's a good first date kind of thing, even.
Very much.
Yeah.
And speaking of dates, it's Valentine's Day weekend.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's Monday.
Well,
Valentine's Day weekend.
No, it's
Valentine's
Super Bowl weekend. Well, that's what it depends on who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on who you are.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Wendy?
Actually, she said we're not doing anything. We don't have to do
love
anything.
Love it.
You should marry her.
The best.
Yeah,
I did.
You should marry her.
I did. That's why I love her.
Okay. You know what's not funny? Hitler at dinner. That's not funny, right?
That's not funny. That was a surprising
never
choice
funny.
By Jonathan.
Never Allen. Funny. Never.
But I don't think
that.
He was trying to be funny.
No, I don't know. But that's never funny. But you know who is funny is Aries Spears. You remember him from Mad TV?
Very good imitation, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good imitation.
Shaq.
Got the Shaq.
DMX.
Thing. Yeah.
He doesn't feel.
Got that crazy eye.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be at Improv Houston. That's starting tonight. Then on Friday, Men Are for Mars, Women Are for Venus live. Now, that's at the Hobby Center. So take your wife, take your significant other, and you can sit there and go, ha, 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 that's true. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. So they're doing that to kind of, you know, John Gray's, you know, iconic.
Same
book.
Guy?
Yeah. Well, it's not him, but it's a performance based on that. Okay. So go on to Saturday.
It's a performance.
It's a performance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's not like a...
No, it's not that
it's
guy
not like
talking.
Sit
no,
a, yeah,
no, it's
talk.
Like Tom Clancy books. They just farm it out to like a team of people. Recreate
it. Nice pull. I always love your Tom Clancy pull. Okay, we are in the middle of Winter Olympics. No,
we are.
Okay, you like drinking beer, John?
Yes.
Okay,
Coors Light.
Beer and Olympics. Revelry on Richmond having Winter Beer Olympics. Just grab four of your friends. You're going to play giant beer pong, cornhole, ring toss, b-ball shootout, flip cup tic-tac-toe, and speed connect.
I'm being honest with you here. The guy I'm sitting in front of the station's across the way in the glass.
He sucks at
what?
Flip. We saw him. He cheats.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was Cody.
Oh, that's right. That's
revisionist right. History.
Oh, wow. That's right. It was Cody.
Wow.
That's right. Cody cheated at it.
I'm a champion.
I was drunk. It was Christmas Eve. It was the Christmas party.
I was drunk. It was Christmas Eve. Redundant.
Yes. No.
I was
drunk enough to make fun of him the following show whenever you got back.
Did you do it?
Did I play? I didn't play
for Tyler, that but day, this, no. this, you would be our participant from the station in these.
Yeah, I would kill
beer Olympics.
All right, Tyler, so maybe we can get you in for Gal Media, but otherwise it's $20 a team. First place wins $400. Second place is $100, and third place gets $100.
Nice. That's pretty
good. That's not
pretty
bad,
cool.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Revelry on Richmond's a good place, too.
This is a little weird. We all love the Golden Girls. We love Betty White, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing a tribute to the Golden Girls, but with puppets. Yeah, at the Hobby Center of Performing Arts. So if you're really, or if your lady's into
Golden Girls puppets.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little, right. It's a little Comedy really? Central.
The old one that was so sassy.
It's Estelle Getis.
Yeah.
Estelle Getis.
Yeah. The youngest of the Golden Girls in real life, I think.
She was.
That's the trivia.
Yeah. And then Rue was the hoe.
Rue McClanahan was the hoe. She was, you know, hoe. She was, you know, gracious. She liked the men. So.
Yeah, the hoe of the Golden Girls. Yeah. What in the world? Go ahead, Steve.
I'm going to get emails about, you know, saying hoe on there. Yeah, exactly. And then I always defer to Eric for food stuff, but there is a Super Bowl Sunday Soul Food Festival happening. So participants include Joey D's Gumbo, Trina's Mobile Barbecue, Cafe Katu, Jesse's Cake Suite, Wacky Dills, and many, many more. That is happening at the Knight Hall Center. And there's plenty of games, plenty of food, plenty of activities. So if you want to get your food on and you don't want to go, you know, get wings, or if you're not cooking, if you're not grilling, head over to the Bayou City Event Center on Knight Road.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's it for me.
All right. Eric, what we got going on?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd say is if you don't have a Valentine's Day reservation by now, popular sort of obvious choices. I mean, you can, you know, check your reservation apps, but
what are your favorite? So why don't you tell people, I know some of the answers here, but why don't you give people like three different reservation apps that they should be looking at around Houston? Because one of the things I found is trying to make reservations on a Saturday afternoon, you're kind of screwed just in a regular sense nowadays.
Yeah. So Open Table is the biggest one. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's where
good restaurants,
the vast majority of restaurants are. But more and more, like, kind of the younger, I don't know, more modern type kind of places, right? Theodore Rex, all of Chris Shepherd's places, Nancy's Hustle are on an app called Resy, R-E-S-Y. Mm-hmm. It's owned by American Express, I think, but anybody, you don't have to be an Amex cardholder to use it. But
well, kind of hipper,
yeah,
more modern hipper, restaurants, newer, a lot of times show
little,
up on
I
there,
think
yeah.
It's a little cheaper, like, from a restaurant operations perspective than Open Table. So, yeah, I'll thumb through Resy on like a Friday night and just like, oh, let me see if I can jump in somewhere.
Same, yeah.
What else? Any other one? They do? Well, there's one called Talk. You don't see it very often here, but I think they're sponsoring the Taste Maker Awards. So you may start to hear a lot about them.
They were just coming into Houston, I think, last year.
Yeah, like Angie's Pizza, the pop-up. Like you order that on Talk. Canal Sushi in Midtown, they're on Talk. There's a few. It's from Chicago. It's the guy who owns Alinea in Chicago.
Oh, like he owns Talk?
Yeah, I think
Grant Ackett's
his business partner.
Okay. Whatever he does. Holy moly!
But yeah, I think that's where Talk comes from.
Yeah, but go ahead, fire away.
No. But so if you don't have Valentine's Day plans, like, you know, I would say like look for maybe a Sunday brunch option, right? Like kind of a pre Super Bowl situation, or like. You know, or start looking for reservations for next
week. Our guy, Ryan Lachane, is going to have TVs rolled in for the Super Bowl, and they're going to do a booze can on Sunday, which that's the first time he's brought the TVs in. So,
which is stupid.
I know he's going to have his booze can, which is usually once a month.
Stupid to not have TVs, but okay.
Yeah. And, well, booze can is a great time. I actually like to watch the game, right? I don't like Super Bowl parties because I actually like to watch the game.
Right.
So, but booze can would be a great time. It's a good pregame option. I mean, you have a couple of OGD shots
before the
Korean French
wrap
or whatever he's doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just real quickly, I just want to talk about a meal I had. Well, oh no, there's a couple of openings to sort of be mindful of. The first is Wild Oats. This is Chris Shepherd's new restaurant in the Houston Farmers Market. Kind of a Texas inspired, so some Mexican influences, some
Southern influences. You're going to have a Wagyu chicken fried steak, which should be really interesting. And then Mapojong, a new Korean steakhouse, is coming to the Heights next week. I had dinner there last night, kind of a sneak peek. Prime beef, you know, really great, like marinated chicken, marinated pork, fun soju cocktails. It's hey. Ken Bridge, who's the guy who started Pink's and has done a whole bunch of other places.
Hey, is he's an interesting guy. I had him on Southdown a long
time ago. He's a quirky dude.
Yeah, he is. Have you what is the place that's Laurel? Have they opened yet?
Oh no, Laurel? We have an opening date for Laurel. It is we published it this week. It's they're doing friends and family next weekend, so it opens a week from.
Am I friends with anyone over there? Because I sure would love to go to that. Holy crap! You know what that is? That's the Uchi. Uchi is pairing up with Franklin's barbecue, right?
Yeah. So
it's the second
Franklin.
One.
It's the third one. There's one in Austin, one in Dallas. And this one that's coming to 11th Street.
Why does Dallas get one before us?
Screw Dallas.
Why does that chachi ass place get anything before us? That doesn't make any sense.
It's hurtful. I know. It hurts my feelings.
Dallas blows.
But this place is going to be.
This place is going to be an absolute monster.
Yeah.
It's going to be a game changer for Houston. It's going to be super crowded. And it's very affordable, right? You hear Uchi, and, you know, that's $100 a person or more, frankly. And, you know, all of the entrees at Loro are like $20-ish. So I think, you know, two people, dinner for two, 80 to 100 with a couple of drinks, like, won't be bad. So, yeah, I think Laura's going to be
Wednesday, February 23rd is the opening day.
Oh, thank you. Sure.
There it is. That it? You guys?
Yeah, that's it.
That's cool. All right. Well, we appreciate you guys, as always. Sorry we missed you last week. So nobody actually did anything over the weekend here in the city.
You wearing your $10,000 sneakers again?
No, I don't have $10,000 sneakers.
Thousands, not ten.
These are just regular sneakers. That's all they are.
What's the name?
927. I don't know. They're Japanese.
See,
it's. I don't know.
Is this made from lambskin?
No. What are we doing here? Vegas. They're cool. I bought them in Vegas when me and Wendy were there. She was like, "Get those shoes there." And
so, do you ever tell her no when she tells you to do something?
No.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
You've met Wendy. I wouldn't tell her.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, probably. Tell Wendy no. That's my girl. All right. So thanks, guys. We appreciate it as always. That's culturemap.com. Lance, you want to have a few drinks when you go to
Maestro Dobel? I do. As a matter of fact, I'm working on getting Maestro Dobel in there for Derek to make a cocktail that he'll put on the menu. Maestro Dobel has a variety of different types of tequilas, 11 generations of tequila makers. They use 100% blue agave. But Reposado, do you have a favorite tequila, Eric? I don't know. Are you a drinker?
I am a drinker. I do have a couple of favorite tequilas. They are, I don't know. Would I say another brand?
Well, yeah. No, but like your varietals.
So I like a Blanco tequila because I'd like to taste that kind of vegetal quality.
So that's their silver. They also have what I think is what you would like is their Cristalino called the Diamante. And the Diamante is a Cristalino. It's three different types of tequila that are three different types of varietals. It's charcoal filtered. And so it's a very crisp, clean finish. It's got a nice palate to a nice flavor profile to it. I would say the same thing about the Añejo, which I love the smokier, smoother types of tequilas for sipping. And of course, I like a smoky cocktail, and that's why I like the smoked silver called the Humito. But what I'm here to tell you is that there's so many different varietals. No matter what your flavor preference, whether it's cocktails or sipping, you're going to find your solution with Maestro Dobel. You can find it wherever liquor is sold here in the city of Houston. If they don't have it there, start demanding it. It's Maestro Dobel.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 9:32 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in at 5-star in Vegas, and the words are all spelled out, at 5-star in Vegas. You got to follow him. He gives unbelievable picks. He's been killing it this entire postseason. And now we got the culmination of the postseason with the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. And 5-star is here to give you winners. What's up, 5-star?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good. Just trying to get that money.
I hear the theme song.
Just trying to get the we're just trying to get the payout number right. All right, so first right, off, exactly. Everyone wants to do it. I mean, it's prop bets. You want to have this prop bet, that prop bet. Is it like with anything, the more you play, the less your chances are of winning big? Because, you know, eventually you're just going to keep chopping at your number based on the, you know, the juice that you put in there. If you make one bet at just theoretically, if you make one bet at $100, you got a 50-50 chance of winning $100. If you make 20 bets at $50 a piece, more than likely the odds are that you're going to go, even if you do really well, you might be 13-7. Yeah. You win 6 of those bets, and then multiple juice bets are going to chop. What are your thoughts on prop bets as a pro who's doing it?
Prop bets for most individuals is just for fun. That's it. They're for fun. I try to find advantages on prop bets during the Super Bowl because with the menu being so large, it's always a couple of props available that are actually sound bets. But most of them are just for fun. But I'll go over a couple of them today with you guys that I actually think are sound bets and why.
Yeah, but you're not going crazy. How many prop bets will you have?
I'll probably make a total of about, let's see, I'm giving you guys today about 5 of them. I'll probably do about 7. I have a couple of them in mind that I'm going to bet pretty heavy that I didn't list on the show.
Is there a circle around them, or can you bet as much as you want?
It just depends on which book you go to. That's the thing. Some books do circle some games, but other ones like Westgate and Board are a little bit more lenient on allowing you to max out. But most of them, the max on most of them at most places are, in town at least, are $500.
Yeah, $500 is usually the most you can go. So you're not going to get crazy anyway. Where you're going to go is with the game and the under over and the usuals. Okay, let's start. Yeah. What's your favorite prop bet on Sunday?
My favorite prop bet is going to be the first offensive play of the game by the Bengals being a rushing play. Joe Mixon led the league in first down carries. And I also feel Zach Taylor will take the same approach he's taken against the Steelers, another great pass-rushing team that he played and dominated twice in his division. And he'll run the ball. Joe Mixon had big games against the Steelers, and I expect them the approach by the Bengals coaching staff to be very much the same. So expect a run on the first play, and that play pays out great. I already got that at even money.
And you expect it to be Joe Mixon to carry the
yes.
Jamar Chase has had a couple of carries in the postseason. Is there a bet on that, whether or not he gets a carry?
No, but I did tie him into, I feel like you may be a perspective for the over 2.5 for total number of players to have a pass attempt.
Yeah.
That's at +155. I really like that a lot because you guys both know from watching the whole regular season, both of these coaches have allowed their receivers and running backs to throw the ball.
Right, and Johnny Hecker is a punter too. So guess what? He throws the ball a lot too. So wouldn't be surprising at all. Yeah, I like the over 2.5 players that pass the ball in this football game as well. What about? You like opening kickoff a touchback? Yeah, right. What is that? That's got to be touchback's got to be a big favorite.
Yeah, it's -210, but it's actually worth it, guys. The Rams kicker, Matt Gay, is averaging 72% touchback in his home stadium. And the Bengals kicker, Shooter McPherson, has a big leg. I look for whomever kicks off first to be able to get it to the end zone, simply off adrenaline and the indoor conditions at SoFi.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, what's the number on that?
-210.
That's it?
Yeah.
-210.
I would have thought it would be closer to -400.
And I'd be curious if you can even find that. You know, that's the interesting thing also about prop bets is there's some standard ones, but there's so many different ones at so many different places.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to make that one about 4 times in different places because they wouldn't let you load up on it.
Hey, I want to get your thoughts on this one about pace of game and your thoughts on will there be a score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game?
Mm.
No is a small favorite over yes. What do you think about there's 3 different time frames. There is no score in the first 7:30 of the game. Is minus one? Is will there be a score? Is yes, minus 160. No, is plus 120. But the other one that I thought could be interesting, even though I think this could be a lower scoring game potentially, the odds are plus 168. I see. Will there be a score in the first 5 minutes? That one to me is kind of interesting because you've got field goal kickers who can kick from distance. It takes 130, 26-yard completion from Joe Burrow to T. Higgins, and they come out firing quickly, you know, throwing early in the down, and something stalls out, and they got a 54-yard field goal, and they kick it, and Evan McPherson makes it, and all of a sudden you're a winner, plus 168. What are your thoughts on that number, plus 168 inside 5 minutes?
We actually spoke about that at length on my show, The Waiver World, man. That's one of those ones that, just like you said, is very iffy because you do have two great distance kickers in this game. Matt Gay as well as McPherson both can hit from distance, and the conditions are fitting in so far to allow them to kick up to about 58 yards, I guess. But also we have two offensive-minded coaches and two quarterbacks with complete control of the playbook. So it's a great bet because you always want to go plus money if it's a coin flip. And I feel like that one is a coin flip. But we've also discussed on there about the under first quarter. The under in the first quarter has hit so many years in a row in the Super Bowl. It's ridiculous. You guys know from watching the Super Bowl in the past, the first quarter always flies by. So and people come out a little safe. You know, it's the biggest game in their career. So I definitely like the under in the first quarter. But the first 6 minutes score, I would have to lean toward plus money, the plus 168, that there would be at least a field goal or something because we both have good kickers. Both teams have good kickers that can kick from distance and shoot.
We got Five Star in Vegas, at Five Star in Vegas. And if you want to hear his podcast, where do you find your podcast?
It's The Wagering World. It's broadcasting on Spoon TV, but it's also on my YouTube channel, Five Star in Vegas Sports Investments.
Okay.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I love the nickname of the guy who co-hosts with you. Tell John what it is.
Yeah, Spread a Stare. That's
Spread
my guy.
Spread a Stare.
I'm a Sacramento Kings fan, I know.
That's a great name.
Spread a Stare.
Yeah, that's my guy. He's a good dude.
Okay, who's going to score touchdowns in this game? Who would you bet on?
I got to go with Mixon and T. Higgins, man. Like I told you guys, and you will see as I do my small breakdown about the Super Bowl, man, that I see Mixon will be a workhorse. I don't think that Zach Taylor allows Joe Burrow to sit back and just, you know, drop back every play and allow the Rams pass rush to feast on him. So they're going to definitely be feeding Mixon. He's at even money. And I also love T. Higgins at plus 150. He has a huge advantage outside against Darius Williams, who's only 5'9", and all the focus is going to be on Jamar Chase. So T. Higgins is going to get some wonderful matches this game, as well as Tyler Boyd.
That's the second handicapper we've heard say, and I can tell you, I've been on T. Higgins the last two games for that same feeling, is that he's going to get looked at because Joe Burrow is going to want to take what's there. We had Anita Marks from Daily Wager on yesterday. She had the same thing. Look at T. Higgins. So I think the sharps are going to be on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, now is the moment of truth. You've been on Cincinnati this entire postseason. What about this game?
Guys, you know, we got to roll the dog. Because, see, the thing is, I'm going to do a quick breakdown. That the thing about the Super Bowl is you can't bet it like a regular season game. You guys know that. Sharps like myself, when we see the line, the first thing we question is, what is the book attempting to accomplish with this line that's out? The line initiated at Rams -3.5. It was quickly bet up to -4. But my immediate thoughts on seeing this short number from the books is that they want money on the Rams. Anytime a team with an offensive personality that's publicly regarded as explosive is only laying less than 6 points, is always an indicator to me. The public perception also, guys, that the Rams are supposed to be here. They're playing at home. They're a public team. They got all the offensive stars, all the defensive stars. And this is almost supposed to be like Stan Kroenke's coronation for bringing back football to L.A. And what's the Bengals' public perception? They're underdogs, a great story, but they're still just the Bengals. You know, Joe Burrow is unbelievable, but he has no offensive line. They're horrible. Yet the book only set the initial line at -3.5. These numbers are framed to make the public better see something that appears as an easy win. What the public doesn't factor is what the books and sharps know. First, the Rams and the Bengals are both division-winning, four-seeded playoff teams. They each won the two most competitive divisions in the NFL, the NFC West and the AFC North, respectively. They mirror each other. Both offenses are pass-first with defenses, with dangerous mismatches outside for defenses. Both teams struggle against the pass. Both teams are top 10 against the run. The Rams do have a better pass rush, and they rank third. And Joe Burrow was sacked the most times in the NFL, guys. But also, Cincinnati played the team with the most sacks in the NFL twice this season in division. The Steelers led the league with 55 sacks. In those two matchups, the Bengals only allowed two sacks. They scored 65 points. I believe Zach Taylor is sharp enough to design a protection scheme that doesn't allow Aaron Donald to dominate the game. The best way to beat a pass rush is run right at them, and that's exactly what Coach Taylor did in prior matchups with the Steelers pass rushers. Joe Mixon, guys, had 255 yards on 46 carries in those two matchups. Joe Burrow only attempted 18 passes. He completed 14, of course, in the first matchup and only threw 24 times in the second matchup, and he completed 20, three of those for touchdowns. So quite efficient, but very limiting in passing because Zach Taylor's smart. He's not going to allow the Rams to just pin back their ears and hit Burrow all game. Joe Mixon is the forgotten man. He's clearly the best running back in this game. He's hard to tackle. He's elusive. The Bengals are going to run the ball to set up the pass to keep the Rams' pass rush at bay, man. And I also believe it's established that both teams' advantages are at wide receivers against the defensive backs. So basically, which defensive backfield will be more effective will probably win the game. I trust Cincinnati's core for every day of the week over the Rams. After you get past Jalen Ramsey, it's 5'9 Darius Williams, 5'11 Nick Scott, and old and slow Eric Weddle. Maybe they get back Taylor Rapp this week. He's solid, but he's missed all the playoffs because of concussion protocol. So how sharp and in condition will he be? And they're facing maybe the deadliest wide receiver core in the league. We have three number ones with the Bengals, guys, and each have played number one at some portion of their career. With Ja'Marr Chase has been the number one for Cincinnati this year. T. Higgins was the number one all year last year. Tyler Boyd was the number one for them multiple years. So I think they're going to have an enormous day with their second and third receivers on Darius Williams. He's very small. If you watch a lot of tape, man, you know that whether Jalen Ramsey knows it or not, he's more like Richard Sherman than a shutdown corner. He's a zone corner. He likes to peek in and look at the quarterback. If he does that against Chase, it's six. So we know that the Rams have a great receiving core. We know Cooper Kupp is amazing. You know he's going to do his thing, man, but the defensive backs for the Bengals match up a little bit better, guys.
All right, there it is. He's been on them all offseason, and he continues the plus the 4.5. That is, or maybe even take the money line. Get you some Bengals win in the money line right there. That is five-star in Vegas. Five-star, as always, we appreciate it. Have a wonderful Super Bowl, and thanks for all your help this year.
No, I appreciate it, guys. One last step before we get out. The last six Super Bowl teams favored between -3.5 and -4.5. They not only didn't cover, they all lost outright.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Wow, that is.
And that's the Chiefs and the Bucks, the Patriots to the Eagles, the Panthers to the Broncos, the Niners to the Ravens, the Patriots to the Giants, and my favorite, the Colts to the Saints. Oh. So, guys, we've had a long history of this same number. Seeing this number and seeing what the books want out this number. And as you said last time we spoke, John, the Bengals are the best road team in the NFL. What is this potential road game? So, guys, I look forward to the Bengals plus 4.5, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right, man. There's five-star in Vegas, man. He's been great all year. That's five-star in Vegas. When we come back, news of the weird. News of the weird and more stuff. Unfortunate stuff about Nazis. It's not just Jonathan Allen. It's not just him. We'll tell you why on the other side. And you know what season it is? It's pest killing season. Every season is pest killing season. McGrath Pest Control wants to do the killing. You want to gear up against fleas, termites, mosquitoes. And listen, it's going to be rainy this spring. You're going to have ants. You're going to have mosquitoes. It's going to suck. You can save your home. Hey, save your home from termites as well. and save your family from mosquitoes. If you think you have termites, you want to protect your home, call Scott McGrath. There aren't a lot of places that you can get the termite inspection, but Scott McGrath does a wonderful job. He's the one that inspected our house, as a matter of fact. But he's got other guys on the street that know how to do it. Not everybody knows how to do it. They know how to do it at McGrath Pest Control. And they've got the mosquito murdering system, which we have in our backyard, and it is spectacular. We had zero last year, zero mosquitoes in our backyard. Zero. All because of the mosquito murdering system. And it's wonderful. And if you're looking to kill those termites, you got grandkids and they're out by the pool and they can't, and they're getting bit up, and grandma, I'm getting bit up all the time. You don't want that. You got to treat your grandkids right. Don't let them mosquitoes crush them outside at your pool. 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240, or McGrathPestControl.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, time for News of the Weird. What's weird is how many stats Five Star has for a game. Good Lord, man. Holy crap, that dude, he ain't gonna, there is no stone unturned with Five Star, okay? Now, we had Jonathan Allen.
That's why that money keeps rolling in.
No, it's right, it does. We had Jonathan Allen talking about having dinner with Hitler, right?
And we did have that, yeah.
He's being canceled. Do you know who Marjorie Taylor Greene is?
I do know who she is.
Yeah, she's an extremist Republican.
Do you know who she is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. She's been kicked off Twitter because of her COVID misinformation. She also has had some questionable comments about Jewish people.
The lasers? Jewish space lasers?
She's a nut job. Anyway, here she was talking about, now, my daughter's in the middle of this because Troy Nels is accusing the police, the Capitol Police, of spying on him. In his office.
Huh.
And so this is a big deal. I was talking to Frankie about it last night, as a matter of fact. It's a big deal. So Marjorie Taylor Greene was in an interview with Real America with Dan Ball, and here's what she had to say.
Not only do we have the D.C. jail, which is the D.C. gulag, but now we have Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police spying on members of Congress, spying on the legislative work that we do, spying
you
on our
stop.
Staff.
And that's
spying
all. On you can all
stop. All. As long as we got the gazpacho police, I'm fine with that cold soup.
Somebody put, they are the consomme, they are the consomme professionals.
Gazpacho police.
The gazpacho.
I know I've misused words before, but that one is great.
That is awesome.
Gazpacho.
The gazpacho police. So apparently, have you ever seen ice fishing?
Yeah.
Up in Green Bay, there's a lot of that going on.
I've seen it on the show alone.
So Hudson, Ohio Mayor Craig Schubert is a little bit worried. Apparently, he feels like ice fishing, those little tents out there, ice shanties, could lead to prostitution. Would you like to have a prostitute in your ice shanty while you're ice fishing for sturgeon?
Let's start at the very beginning. Would I like to ice fish?
Would you like to ice fish, first of all?
Would I like a shanty? No. I think we've already covered. I think right there's the building blocks for the no.
So not only do you not want prostitutes, you don't want to even ice fish or be in a shanty in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it's a no on all
that. It seems like it'd be awful cold to have a prostitute in there.
Yeah. No, it's a no on all that.
Don't you want a warmer place than
that? If you're talking about ice fishing, I'm already out.
Yeah.
I'm not a fisherman when the weather's nice.
No, right. I
can't catch anything.
70 degrees, let alone.
I try, but I can't catch anything.
10 below. No.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's okay for a youngster to plan to blow up a building?
No.
Okay.
I think I can make a pretty strong no on that.
Do you think he should be maybe sentenced to, if he plans to blow up a building, do you think he should be sentenced to 5 years in prison maybe? Is that reasonable?
Yeah, maybe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, in Russia, a teenager was sentenced to 5 years in prison for plans to blow up a building in Minecraft.
There's got to be something more here.
Two more received a suspended sentence. No, apparently his plan was to blow up an FSB building in Minecraft. And this got him 5 years in prison.
Are they thinking that this is a simulation or something? I have to believe that even in Russia, they had to have thought that this was something more.
Well, I don't know, but somehow, you know, sometimes they overhear things in Russia. Apparently, they overheard this young man.
Oh, I accidentally heard something before you got poisoned.
Yes, apparently that was the case. He was, now that's a rough country, okay? You're sentenced to 5 years in prison for attempting to blow up a building in a video game.
What do you get when you intentionally crop dust a elevator and you get off? What will that get you in Russia?
Oh my God!
That's an intent to harm.
10 to 20.
That's an intent to harm.
10 to 20.
Unless that's why you do this. What the hell? Who did that? Which one of you did that?
Apparently, you know, the federal government is trying to decrease our usage of drugs. But by doing so, they still have to give drugs to, you know, to apparently people are, well, the White House had to dispute that reports of federal funds for crack pipes, which, by the way, happens.
Federal funds?
Federal
for crack
funds.
Pipes?
We use money to buy drugs, which will.
Buy drugs or paraphernalia?
Paraphernalia, yeah. and drugs and smoking kits so that we can lessen drug users' use of it, but we supply them with it. Are you for or against your tax dollars going to buy drugs?
I'm against, unless they say, listen, Lance, we know you've got a problem with queso, so we're going to start buying you some queso.
That's right.
And kind of wean you off of the
queso.
You.
That's right.
I'd be like, all right. I mean, if we're just, as long as we're doing it for health purposes, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So you're pro government buying crack pipes. Gotcha.
I mean, when you give me this, when you tell me the logic behind it, it seems stable.
Guys, are you still looking for a great Valentine gift for special someone? Then give her the next best thing to wear, nothing at all, with soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas available exclusively from Pajamagram.com. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her own soft skin. She's going to love slipping these on every night. So soft and luxurious, they'll melt away her stress. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you'll love the way they look. Check them out at Pajamagram.com. Best of all, every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, which means you don't have to wrap a thing. So get her naturally nude pajamas. Just go to Pajamagram.com or text the word GIFT, that's G-I-F-T, to 41234. Again, text the word GIFT to 41234. Or just order them online at Pajamagram.com. Naturally nude pajamas. It's fast, it's easy. Delivery by Valentine's Day is guaranteed. Tell them John Granato sent you.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.